You're listening to Siren Radio. Interesting times require us to carry on doing interesting things. And the wonderful thing about what we're doing at the moment is that I can pop a quick email to friends and colleagues, say, look, would you join me for a quick Zoom chat? And they say it. Whereas normally I'd have to say, would you like to come into the studio? And at this time of year, it's cold and wet and miserable. So it's a great delight to say that I've managed to say to Carl McCartney, Conservative MP for Lincoln, one, of course, who looks after Siren, can we have a chat today? And Carl said, yes, of course. Click, click, click. And Carl, there you are, magically in my dining room.
Indeed, good to hear you and to see you, Andrew. But obviously, your listeners can't see me. But good for them to be able to listen to you and I having a chat about all things to do with whatever you want to ask me about.
Well, you see, we're going to have some happy stuff in a bit. But I have to say, we're recording this at lunchtime on Monday, the 7th of December. And we've got to use the Brexit word. We've got to say we are less than a month away from fully leaving the European community as it has been for us, and yet we still don't have a deal yet, do we? Is that a concern for you?
Well, I'd like to say, for me, that's a positive, and I'm quite happy about the fact that we're leaving the EU and we're going to become a sovereign state, and that's what the people of the country voted for, and I hope and I'm happy if we deliver that. And yes, we're a month away, so we had the withdrawal agreement, we've done that. And unfortunately, it seems the French are doing everything they can to stymie the deal that the EU and the UK want to come to. But lots of other countries, whether that be Japan, Canada, around the world, have trading agreements with the EU states as they are, of which we are at still at this point in time. And there's no reason why we shouldn't have the same trading agreements that they have. And unfortunately, if we have to go to World Trade Organization rules and regulations, well, so be it. But that's not the ideal for either the UK nor for the EU or the constituent states that make up the EU, to be honest. So I do hope they come to an agreement. I do hope the French wind their necks in a little bit. I understand for them and actually for the Germans that the fishing issue is quite a big one for them. But there's no reason why, you know, our fishing fleet shouldn't enjoy the fruits of their labours in our international fishing waters, if you like. So that's something that's, you know, going to come to a conclusion sooner or later.
And we're going to have to, yeah. But looking locally, there have been lots of adverts in newspapers, magazines, on the radio, ensuring that businesses are ready for the 1st of January. With everything else that businesses, particularly with the second lockdown, have had to cope with locally, do you feel and do you get the sense from the people you talk to that local businesses actually understand what that might mean for them if A, they have to import goods from Europe, or B, they have to do business with you? Do you think they're really up to speed on it?
For those small proportion of the overall number of businesses, yes, I think most of those that, by far the vast majority of those that either import or export to either the EU or around the world, and many of them do have, obviously, part of their markets are as part of the EU, but also they import and export to the rest of the world as well. And I think they are prepared. I'm sure they'd like more time, wouldn't we all? When we come to, you know, important dates, we all, you know, we get focused perhaps as we get to the deadline. But they've known that this is coming. And yes, it's not ideal times with obviously the lockdowns that we've had and COVID and everything else that we've all had to contend with for, unfortunately, most of this year, 2020. But it's a brave new world and I'm looking forward to 2021. I'm certainly hoping it's going to be better than 2020 in an economic sense, if you like. Indeed, for all of those people who work in business, whether it's small, medium or large enterprises, you know, in Lincoln and around Lincoln and Lincolnshire and across the East Midlands and across the UK, indeed. So, it's a brave new year in 2021. And obviously, we all hope it's going to be a damn sight better than 2020 has been.
And talking of dates, as you did a moment ago, the 12th of December, it's a year since the Conservatives won the general election and you got back in as the Conservative MP for Lincoln. You could not have imagined the fact that you were thinking about getting back into the Houses of Parliament and doing all that busy stuff down in London, but I suspect you've not actually been there more than a dozen times, I should think, the last 12 months.
Well, initially, obviously, as soon as I was, and I'm very happy to have been re-elected as a Member of Parliament for Lincoln. Obviously, I first stood back in 2005, so obviously not successful in 2005 and was elected first of all in 2010, but was very pleased, obviously, to have an even bigger majority than I'd ever had before when I was re-elected, yes, nearly a year ago. But then we were straight into Christmas, really, in 2019, and then was there for a couple of months before, obviously, we then had the lockdown. But I was one of the ones that said, when we returned at the start of late April, start of May, and I was down there quite a bit then, saying we needed to get back to normal as a parliament. And that didn't come to fruition for various different reasons and other parties and their members not wishing to do that. But my point was all the supermarket workers, all those people who were key workers in whatever roles that they did, they were all going into work and doing their normal things. I personally would like to have seen the schools go back and be opened. And that didn't happen, but I didn't think we could force the issue if we as parliamentarians weren't doing what I thought we should do, which was show the way, if you like, and to, in some way, show some leadership and go back to our place of work. Now, there's been various different changes over the intervening months, but we're still not back to what I would describe as normal. And I'm sure, you know, if you go back to, pressing times, and I'm not equating what we've gone through in the last 9 years to the magnitude of what happened during the Second World War, but certainly parliamentarians back between 1939 and 1945 didn't say, well, I'm not going to go into parliament because there's a possibility that there might be some bombing raids by the Germans or whatever. They carried on as best as they could, the majority of the people in the country did. And that, if you like, that bulldog spirit that the British people have long held dear is there and is there still to this day. But I think parliamentarians needed to show a little bit more leadership than perhaps they did. And I'd like to see Parliament return, and all us as parliamentarians, we stood to be elected and to represent those people that elected us down in Parliament. And that's what I think we should be doing more than perhaps we have done.
And the difficulty thing at the moment, though, is trying to fight the invisible foe, which is COVID. We've got the vaccine coming. You must be delighted about that.
Very pleased about the three that seem to be on offer, but certainly that the first one's
indeed
up and running later this week, which is good.
But the major problem, I think, that we've all faced is with the first lockdown, it was easy. It was lockdown. That's it. Got to stay in. You can only go out for your hours, exercise and all the rest of it. Since then, the sort of releasing and then going back and releasing and going back, it's incredibly confusing, and it still is. And over the weekend, we saw some extraordinary pictures from Nottingham where they decided to have their Christmas market and people just rushed out quite naturally because they wanted to get out. But there was no sense of being careful. And in fact, some of the shots from Lincoln over the weekend showed people huddling in larger and larger groups, because, of course, it should have been Christmas market this weekend. I mean, what we're feeling and what we're being told to do and what we're actually doing, three very different things, aren't they? And you talk about leadership. Do you think the leadership has really been strong and focused enough?
I think it needs to be clearer. And unfortunately, I think maybe the devolved parliaments and the way that the media have acted and promoted various different, perhaps differing viewpoints at different times has caused an unclearness. I don't want to say confusion because I don't think it has been that. But certainly you were right with the first lockdown. That was it. You know, we were locked down and people did what they did. But what I've always said right from the very start, and a number of my colleagues have said, is people should use their common sense. Now, most people have common sense, but you'd hope that, you know, the vast majority would lead by example and use their common sense. And whether that's keeping the distance, only going out when you need to go out, whether that's for shopping or whatever, then so be it. Now, obviously, I'm pleased that certain businesses are now reopened. Not all of them, unfortunately. But obviously, at this time of year, for many businesses, certainly in the retail sector, the months of November and December, and maybe the sales as well during January and early part of February, see them through, if you like. They're their bonus months for the other two thirds of the year.
Yeah.
I have felt for them with not being able to open, obviously, up until last week. But I hope that people still do use their common sense as we move through and the Christmas period. And I know some people will make the decision that they're going to spend their Christmases with their families. Well, so be it, but use your common sense if you do. Some families will make the decision to, if you like, still self-isolate, even though if perhaps they haven't got a member that's been classed as being infectious or suffering from COVID at that time, but because they're using their common sense and decided that actually this Christmas they'll enjoy it with their immediate, if you want to call it, family bubble, if you like. And there won't be the Christmas parties where you invite your neighbours around. Unfortunately, there won't be those large carol services that we have, you know, at the cathedral or our local churches. So, yes, it's a very different Christmas coming up, but the two words that I've used, you know, ad infinitum on many, many occasions, on many media interviews that I have, is that people should really use their common sense. And they still should. And that's even with the vaccines arriving and starting to be administered, you know, across, you know, whichever section of the population, be that older people or younger people or particularly key workers or those that are vulnerable, whoever it's administered to, as that rolls out, we should still use our common sense until we beat this horrible pandemic. I think in the UK we have done remarkably well on various different levels, with the support that's been given by the government, obviously with the pharmaceutical sector doing the work that they've done to have these various vaccines becoming available. And so, you know, that's all to be commended, and I'm very, very pleased and very positive about the way that, you know, the government of which I am a part, but also the general populace, as well as those various different companies, have acted in the main for the greater good, which is, you know, all to be commended.
The University of Lincoln has been very keen to try and make sure that the impact, the bringing back of the students, which was almost the last time you and I spoke, and now their disappearance, has been handled in as professional and as thorough way as possible. Have you been happy with what you've seen? And because I know you're in regular contact with the university.
Yes, indeed. And with the various different facets and levels and different, if you like, internal organisations of the NHS provision that we have here in Lincoln and across Lincolnshire. And in general, yes, I have been actually. And yet I know we've seen increases in cases, but we're always going to see that with the increased amount of testing that was being done of individuals and families. So that was always going to happen. And yes, those being admitted to hospital has gone up, unfortunately, and none of us want to see that. But I certainly believe that the university have done everything that they could have done. I'm sure there's some things they would, in hindsight, would wish to have done better, perhaps, or perhaps slightly differently. But obviously, you know, I didn't think that certainly we should be, as a nation, saying to students who'd gone to university, well, you now can't go home for the 3, 4, 5 week period over December and January until obviously the start of the second term of this academic year. Most students go back home because they want to see their friends who've gone off to other universities and be with their families over the Christmas period. And that's, you know, as much of a normal life as we could. But obviously, I think the university, if we pick on them as an entity, but also the students who have been attending both the Lincoln universities, be that the University of Lincoln or Bishop Costes, and also those students who have left Lincoln to go to other universities around the country, I think they've been using their common sense, and I hope they have in the vast majority of cases, and will do that over the Christmas period as well. Obviously, because once it comes back to January in 2021, they'll presumably be going back to their universities at, you know, the first or second week in January, or perhaps the third week, I don't know, perhaps the dates have been staggered, and will be enjoying their student life and continuing to study through the second term and on towards Easter, which, you know, as we move forward and the vaccines, as I say, are administered across the country, we'd hope that the incidences and level of the pandemic and those, if you like, localised outbreaks of COVID will be less and less, and we'll be able to move forward and get back to a normality, both for, if you like, our sanity and the way that we wish to live our lives in as much a normal way as possible, but also for the economy to recover as best and as much as it can do as quickly as possible. Because obviously that's what we'd all hope to see, and for our country to go from strength to strength as we enter into 2021 and the brave new world that I've said that I'm looking forward to being a part of.
I think we all applaud you for the positiveness about 2021. It's a brand
new. I'm nothing if not an optimist, and it's never the glass is half full. I just think there should be a bigger glass.
Absolutely. Well, talking about bigger glasses, let's just finish with what's the Christmas going to be like for the McCartney family? Do you have any special traditions, Shay McCartney?
Yeah, we have various few, and certainly with Christmas decorations and the type of Christmas decorations we have on the tree. One of my, I suppose, because my youngest brother's has lived for nearly 20 years actually, and married a German lady, and they and others around the world. Some open one present on Christmas Eve. We've actually only ever done that once, but it's something we might do this year. Because we normally would be going to church on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day and would be sharing it with friends or family from near and far. But this year, I think we'll be it'll be a quieter Christmas in that respect, but no less enjoyable for that. I'm looking forward, actually, to watching various Christmas specials that are going to be on the TV that our two boys haven't seen before. So whether that's the two Ronnies, or whoever it might be, I think there's going to be some blast from the past that it's a perhaps a gentler age and maybe a less cynical age, and and perhaps watching them, because for them they seem to get most of their intake of vision is off YouTube. Although probably the time we do sit together sometimes to watch films, but also to watch sporting fixtures on the telly. So maybe that over Christmas will be something to enjoy, but. Like many families, we've always played board games and enjoyed the presents that we've received on Christmas morning, and probably we'll still do that, even though I know that some of the advice is not to play board games. But then we won't be in any form of bubble, so it's not that we've got people who are visiting. So we're interacting with each other every day of the week. Breakfast is always really, there's usually a very early breakfast in our house. Everybody wakes up very, very early. And that's probably, I get very excited by Christmas, I have to be honest with you. And I just remember as I was growing up, my father was certainly Mr. Grumpy at Christmas because he didn't want to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning like me and my two younger brothers. But certainly our boys have always woken up quite early. And sometimes I think even I've been giving them a little nudge to say, oh, you wake up, it's time to open your presents. I can't wait. I'm just a big kid in that respect. So, and we usually have scrambled egg and a bit of salmon to start with a Christmas Day breakfast, which is usually sort of mid-morning. And then obviously looking forward to the traditional Christmas dinner later on in the day. I'm trying not to eat too much. So we've got room for some mince pies.
Absolutely.
Later on.
Good to hear what you're going to be planning. And also, whilst you were talking about things like Morecambe and Wise, I was just thinking, you were talking about a gentler time. That was when the nation really came together for the Morecambe and Wise Christmas specials.
Morecambe and Wise, as I said, they're all those, even little and large, all those different, they were comedians, but it was family fun in the main. And, you know, there's fond memories of watching those. And you're right. The nation used to come together. They'd hit viewing figures of 20 million plus.
Exactly.
I don't think you really would get maybe royal weddings or the really, really big occasions. Maybe, a football World Cup final, if it was held in the UK, you might get the same sort of level of the nation coming together for one event rather than watch it on catch up later or iPlayer or on YouTube, they'd actually all sit there and watch something live. I think they were going to see those sort of occasions few and far between as we move forward. Just the nature of the way life is these days. You know, my boys watch all sorts of stuff on YouTube. And our eldest said, you know, he saw the interview that the Liverpool manager Klopp gave after the game weekend before last, where he had a little bit of a dig at the broadcasters. You know, and he'd watched that on YouTube and said, I need to watch it on YouTube. Well, I couldn't see it. It wasn't shown on Match of the Day in full, but you could get to see it and see his views, which he was perfectly entitled to have. And I think would probably be backed by quite a few people, not just because I'm a Liverpool supporter, in the way that actually the broadcasters seem to dictate these days when teams can or should play their games. And so it's just interesting that that's how the world of the media world, if you like, has moved on. In sort of it can be on demand and at your fingertips, but it's a different way of living, perhaps. I hardly ever see our boys pick up a newspaper.
Interesting.
It's really, really, for me, it's very odd. I was brought up with my dad on a Sunday, basically spreading the Sunday Times on the floor and reading that all day on a Sunday. And I only ever used to read the magazine because it had pictures in.
Oh, Carl, what a wonderful image you've created for us. A grumpy father on Christmas Day in the morning.
And oh, he didn't stay grumpy. It was just the early morning, I think. It was his one day in the year when he got to have a lie in, but not his children were going to let him because they wanted to get up and open their
presents. Especially with three boys who are eager to open their presents.
Oh, yeah.
Carl, thank you so much indeed for spending a few minutes with us in an incredibly busy time for you. And all sorts of things are changing. As I say, just a reminder, we record this on Monday the 7th. So if we've mentioned something about Brexit and vaccines and it's changed when you hear this, either as we broadcast it later today or on the podcast, then take that into consideration. But on behalf of Sarah and everybody who's listening, can we wish you and your family a very happy and peaceful Christmas? And as you say, let's look forward to a positive 2021. Whatever size glass you have, let's make it more than half full.
Indeed, Andrew, and to you and your family and all your listeners, a very happy Christmas for me, and I hope the very best for them all and for you all in 2021. I've got lots of things happening before Christmas, actually. So we've got the opening of the first part of the Eastern Bypass, first two thirds. So I'm looking forward to that. Obviously, with the recent announcement that the last third is on the drawing board, so we look forward to that being completed as well. But lots of exciting things, obviously, in different times and difficult times, if you like. But certainly looking forward to that Eastern Bypass opening, because it's something that I've banged on about for many a year, for well over a decade. So very pleased to see that come to fruition. But yes, lots of good things to happen before Christmas, and wish all the very best to all your listeners.